Good morning, everybody. It's Thursday, September 5th, 2019. It's 9 o'clock a.m. We're gathered for the County Administration Workshop in the Board of County Commissioner Conference Room. Commissioner Fowler and Morgan present, and we are here with our first agenda item is going to be an executive session item for potential real property transaction purchase of timberland under ORS 192-6602E. Approved representatives of the news media and designated staff shall be allowed to attend the executive session. All other members of the audience are asked to leave the room. Approved representatives of the news media are specifically directed not to report on or otherwise disclose any of the deliberations or anything said about these subjects during the executive session, except to state the general subject of the session as previously announced. No decision may be made in executive session. At the end of the executive session, we will return to open session and welcome the audience back in the room. The recorder will be turned off now at 9:01 a.m. It's 9:28 and we're back in general session regarding the potential real property transaction purchase of timberland.
Thank you.
And we discussed options and I'd entertain a motion to authorize Mr. Strader to move forward with looking at this as a possibility.
I'd make that motion.
I'll second that. Any further discussion?
No.
Okay, and all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye, motion carries 2-0. You have our blessing to proceed. Item number 2A is legal. Donald Smith's administrative appeal and petition for rulemaking under 5 U.S.C. A, something 553. How do you describe that symbol?
Section.
Thank you. You know, it's what lawyers go to school to learn.
That's
special
right.
Symbols, right?
It took me 3 years to get that one.
But I don't speak Latin.
Carpe diem.
I guess I do.
Well, this came in earlier this week, I think it was, and so we went ahead and put it on, since we were all going to be here together anyway today, went ahead and put it on the agenda. I think the documents were included in your packet, which which tell the story. Essentially, Mr. Smith is contending that his use of a suction dredge is not polluting the water. And so this could be kind of a bellwether decision if it comes down to Mr. Smith and his suction mining effort. So he's asked for there is any interest.
So Mr. Kitcher, who's on our mining advisory, is asked us if we would be willing to also sign the letter of support. That was a template showing that we also support them looking and reviewing this, and that we also concerned that turbidity is not
a pollutant.
Correct.
Right, especially if what you're taking came from that same stream. You're not introducing
exactly,
any pollutant. Yeah.
Which has long been maintained by the mining community that suction dredging does not pollute.
And the example that our Hellgate jet boats do the exact same thing, and we don't want them to be harmed either in the potential.
Well, so could a good
here.
Storm surge.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So
I have no hesitation endorsing or supporting this letter.
So I believe that we would just need to edit it or kind of plug in us.
Yes, those are the two things that would basically need to be done, yeah.
And
a little bit of polish.
Yeah, a little bit of county look on it.
It was a sample. Yep. Was there more in there that we... Sorry, I'm just kind of scrolling real quick. So the first was the letter with all the added stuff. So I don't think there's much more to that. So if we wanted to add to a letter and word it in our thing, is that something full board?
Yep.
Sounds good?
Absolutely.
So I'm good with that if you're willing to make it pretty for us.
I can. I mean, you want to keep it in board office, perhaps? It might be a more efficient turnaround time.
Sure. I don't know if anything needs to be addressed as far as the format of it to be efficient for the purpose. That's the only thing as far as, is there a legal component here that needs to have it a format that I'm not familiar with?
Okay. We can certainly research
work with
point.
Annette.
We'll work with Annette. Yep. And get to something for the signature file.
Awesome.
Super.
Okay, and then Item number three, financial report, business update. Oh, anything else?
Nope.
Okay. I realized at 1:30 this morning I hadn't sent you that email I was going to send you yesterday.
Oh.
So I'll try to figure out when to work on that.
Okay.
Very good.
But I did get confirmation. I have the meeting with Dylan on Monday tonight. So,
okay.
And I'll meet with Cy on Monday as well. So, all those emails of, okay, what's going on with BLM, finally got confirmed today. So,
okay.
Not like, 2 days isn't enough time, 2 business days to plan a meeting. Okay, cool. Well, thank you both.
Okay, thank you.
Up next, 3A, PERS Employer Incentive Fund Update, page 10 in our file. I have to say, I am curious on this one and not quite sure what to think of it.
Well, the Arthur O'Hare, Finance Director, what this is really a Senate Bill 1049 that passed the legislature this last session. And in that Senate bill, there were three components that the effort is to reduce the liability, the unfunded actuarial liability, and reduce the PERS rates. That's the issue. That's the PERS rates are going up, and the legislature is making efforts to bring them down or to lessen that impact. So there were three pieces in that Senate Bill 1049, two of which are already being sued or challenged in court. Those two are the salary limitation. The legislature tried to put a salary limitation of $195,000 on.
How dare they come up with something reasonable? The people getting $50,000 a month in PERS payments are why we're.
And that was what they're trying to address, what I'll call the Bilotti effect, where you've got the coach who earns millions, and so
he's not
PERS.
The highest. It's
no,
all the doctors at OHSU.
Doctors so-and-so from OHSU.
They should never be considering outside contracts as part of the wages. It should have been your straight salary at the hospital and nothing else, or straight salary at the university.
And so they
that what they were working under? Exactly.
No.
You can't
for
start
some
using
reason,
logic.
They were able to get endorsements from Nike or somebody
and include
wages,
that in
all their
wages,
yeah,
in their formula, which is ridiculous.
So they tried to put that limit on their $195,000. That's being challenged in court. The second piece that's also being challenged is what they're calling the Employer Rate Relief Fund, which is where they're taking the 6% that goes to the employee's IAP, the Individual Account Program. That 6% is kind of like a 401k, it's, deferred comp program. They're taking that 6% and they're divvying it up. They're saying 2.5% will go to the employer to reduce their rate.
Whoa.
And 3.5% will stay in the IAP, in the employee's deferred comp account. That's being challenged in court. And rightfully so.
Yeah, that one sounds like a raid.
Well, it is, especially in places like Josephine
we're
County.
We're employee contributions, so they're taking our wages.
Right.
It's
to
not
pay
the
for
county's
theirs.
Contributions.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Pay for
to
past
offset,
liability. Yeah.
To offset Josephine County's rate.
City of Grants Pass, they pay the portion for the employees. Josephine County does not. The employees
pay
their 6%.
Right.
So for them to take that, to use it, to it's
offset the
yeah,
employer.
That's a raid.
Yeah, so that one's being challenged in court, too. The part that's not being challenged is the PERS Employer Incentive Fund. And what that is just a matching program. That's why I want to bring it to the board, because it just...
what's it funded out of?
Applications. Well, it's a matching program that allows municipalities, counties, cities, districts, to create a side account. In other words, we can make a contribution to PERS, lump sum contribution to PERS to offset our rate. So, sounds pretty simple. Instead of being a 26% rate over the next 20 years or whatever, we can contribute $1 million to PERS, and PERS will reduce our rate.
It's legal to do so.
Sure.
We don't have that kind of money.
Sure. No, we don't. That's part of the why I'm bringing it to you. You may have heard about it, and there may be people who ask about it. What are you doing? Are you participating in this? And there's a couple of reasons why I would say that we should not participate in the employer incentive fund.
I know, because I had red flags about this when I saw it in the packet, so right. I'm actually kind of relieved that it's consistent with you saying you don't recommend we do this.
I don't recommend we do it. It's a matching fund. So what they're saying is that the legislature is setting aside some money to give a 25% match to whatever the municipality contributes. So if we contribute $1 million, they'll contribute $250,000. Now the limit is $300,000. So, you know,
it's not limitless.
Yeah, the max of match we can get is $300,000. There's two reasons why I don't feel that the county is in a position to participate in this program. One is because we don't have $1 million sitting around with no obligations. I think we have many, many deferred maintenance issues, relocation of facilities, other issues that are radios, parking lots. I mean, there are things that will use up more money than what we have in the bank. So I think
the
in priority
alone
wise,
is a over $20 million project.
Sorry.
Yeah.
So, that's the radio tower maintenance.
Yeah. I think we give it to the Forest Service. That's what I think. But anyway, so in that regard, we really don't have...
I'm sorry. I misspoke. Jackson County trying to do the same thing we have to do is $23 million. We haven't got there yet, but the quotes are going to be similar. Yeah. That's the correct...
We need some infrastructure grants from our friendly...
Yes. And I brought that up at NAMI, so I apologize. Sheesh. I realize I gave bad info. Sorry.
So that's good. Clarification. So... We really don't have the funds. The other issue is that we cannot, as Josephine County, set up a side account under this program until we pay off our transitional liability. Remember our friends at Job Corps or the Job Council. We have a $2.5 million transitional liability because of that. We cannot contribute to the PERS side accounts until we pay that off. So it's not $1 million contribution, it's a $2.5 million plus $1 million contribution in order to get a $250,000 matching.
Do we have a miracle side plan that's addressing the $2.5 million?
No. That's just added to our rate at this point in time.
All right.
Real quick, and I'll wrap this up and finalize it. If we had contributed $1 million and they matched $250,000, the change in our rate would be less than 1%. It'd be 0.9%. So it would reduce our rate by 0.9% and would equivalent to about $184,000 a year reduction in employer cost of the PERS. $184,000 a year into, you know, $1.25 million is five and a half years, or into the $1 million, 5.6 years. So for a rate of return or break-even point. So in the other is what I call nailing jello to a tree. The rate that they're charging us in our unfunded liability moves all the time. It's based on 20-year projections, who's going to retire, what is their age, what are they going to earn. As far as I'm concerned, I think eventually the state of Oregon will have to address this by making direct contributions to PERS to offset the excessive liabilities that are being
So they're
going
to collect our income taxes from all the citizens to make payments to PERS to offset the employees.
Probably.
But
or they'll do something like
the kicker. Or, yeah.
That's what I think. They'll try to raid the kicker and say, instead of refunding, we're going to use it to offset.
Uh-huh.
So that liability that we're sending our hard cash to offset is going to fluctuate.
It's bouncing.
And I think it's going to go down, but because it's going to have to go down in order to
Do we have any Tier 1 employees left?
Yeah, we have a handful.
Handful? Okay.
I've got it. We've got about
one-third during the layoffs.
Yeah, we've got about one-third of our staff is Tier 1, Tier 2, and about two-thirds are OPSERP. So, yeah.
I didn't know. Thank you for that.
So that was my update. I just wanted to bring that forward in case somebody asked, in case somebody questioned you.
You never lose the obligation once they're in.
Dang it.
Nope, you're stuck. Stuck again. So that's Senate Bill 1049. Any ideas or thoughts or questions on that?
Doesn't seem like enough to be tempted. Yeah.
You know, I know they were working and hoping. There was a group that had emailed us of wanting to come to a presentation. They actually ended up doing the presentation up at AOC. I don't remember if you were there that day. I think you may have been.
I think I was, yeah.
Yeah, and this was that presentation. And honestly, it's things that PERS should have done 20, 30 years ago, putting salary limits, putting all these other things.
I do have, I think these are the slides that were presented up there, so I have that electronically if you're
I also,
interested.
While I was sitting here, Googled, just sent, I just did SB 1049, mm-hmm. Oregon 2019, and under the PERS page, there's pages for employers, there's pages for let's see, there was a couple things here just for members and employers both as far as information and keeping up on it. So I'd be happy to email you those links or just so we have them. Just
yeah,
so we can
I've got them. I've already reviewed all that.
But it's under the Oregon.gov. There's a PERS area and there's a page just on the Senate bill updates and stuff like that. So.
Yeah.
Okay, so
pretty interesting
do you
stuff.
Want to join in on the incentive fund against
no.
Arthur's advice?
I do not.
I do
Let's
not
leave
either.
That to the big boys that it was written for.
Yeah, yeah. I think mostly we're talking schools and things of that nature, but for us individually, I don't see the benefit.
Where
for
are
us.
We at with the bond measure that we took to offset our PERS obligation?
We've got 4 more years.
Okay.
2024.
And
are we going to have... And that'll be the end of it?
That'll be the end of the payback on the bond, yes. So that will reduce our overall assessment against the individual departments. It does not affect our PERS. Our PERS rate is what it is. We contributed all that bond money back in 2000. I believe it was a 1999 bond. We contributed it all to PERS, gave it all to PERS in the year 2000. And so that's been offsetting our rate, if you will, for since that time.
But what about the 2.5 million liability at workforce?
Right.
Are we going to have to bond that out eventually, or can
no.
is that get put offable?
The board decided a couple years back to allow PERS to incorporate that into our rate. So that's just added to our overall our unfunded liability.
Which is
that's
much?
Already in there, so it's already part of our rate.
What's our unfunded liability? You said
right,
that number earlier.
Yeah, right now it's close to 30 million.
I had 26 in my mind, so I might have been listening.
I think it's been updated since then.
Since 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, since 20 minutes. Ask me in 15 more minutes what it is and we'll...
So what is our...
That's not funny.
Our unfunded actuarial liability is close to 30 million. In round numbers, 29 or something.
Well, then that's not a big deal.
Yeah, we can pay that off.
I think Arthur's salary is offered as an offset.
Yes, it
I
is.
I heard he's already opened some sort of exit hatch.
As of July 1, you can use my salary for whatever you want.
That's going to go quick. Holy mackerel.
Don't tell me.
No doubt.
Diane's already telling me, I don't want you around here for...
Yeah, what are you doing?
My dad pulled that a couple weeks ago.
It was so nice when
you
were gone.
He says something about, I'm retiring this month. Not this month, but he listed the month, and my mom looked at him and said, No, you're not.
We haven't thoroughly discussed this.
Okay.
Oh,
he's going to become a cute bus driver or something. He's not
exactly
a sitting around
right.
at home type of guy.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
Or we'll put electric boys, what are the electric little... seat things so he can't sit very long.
Yeah, that reminds me of the hot seat at camp when I was a kid.
We had buzzers for quizzing. Item 3B is economic development request, RCC small development.
Yes.
$35,000. This is our annual contribution.
Contribution. I wanted to bring it to the board just as I do for any other economic development request to say, here's your opportunity to see where we're putting our money. I think we've been doing this for a number of years. I didn't look up 5 years, 7 years, something like this. And this is our project, our program, in lieu of the county having to assess private for-profit businesses coming directly to the board asking for economic development assistance. In lieu of that, We give money to the Small Business Development Center at RCC, and we refer those people to that for them to assess the business plan to see if it's worthwhile to help them create a successful business plan. And then if they move through the Small Business Development Center at RCC, they're also then eligible to get a business loan from their revolving loan fund. So this $35,000 goes to help that program and that revolving loan fund. So Ron Goss and who else?
Kenny Hope.
Kenny submitted some background data that I've attached to your packet there, showing how they serve the rural business community of Josephine County. So I think this is a good, worthwhile plan, and I recommend we.
There's some really good stories coming out of this with the economy better and more people utilizing this. And having a successful story out of it as
well. I actually talked to a local business that told me last night they wouldn't have had their doors open if it weren't for them.
For these folks.
But our funds, specifically, if you look at the packet, our contribution actually directly assists in the Illinois Valley. So if you look at the, I'm scrolling faster. Okay, so the page that has kind of a chart of their funding and their budget, the next one has, wait, where did I see it?
Historical impacts?
Hold on, sorry.
I got two charts.
Okay, one of them showed that the contributions from Josephine County are funding the IV. So let me see, where did I find that? Oh, there it is. It is that chart on the second page, the historical economic impact projections. Projected performance, but notice it has the IV, BEC, and RCC, SBDC. So ours...
Kind of separated,
Oh, it's the one on the page before. So under Extension of Rural-Based Services in Josephine County, it shows that Josephine County Economic Development is going to the Rural IV BEC. And last year's budget in this one. So both of us are, and then RCC General Fund is shoring that up. So our monies are going directly to the Illinois Valley. So
excellent.
Yeah, I think it's a great program. I recommend it.
Good use of those economic dollars.
Yes. Directly supporting the business.
So I support continuing to do this.
Excellent.
This graph is interesting.
Okay, not sure what that is.
I don't think that's mine, but it might be. I don't know.
It's some SBDC thing.
It's SBDC,
Whoopsies.
It's a little dark. You're stealing our toner.
I know. That's not how mine came out. Mine came out very beautiful.
Yours did come out really.
Wait. Can you see it on the screen that it's all black?
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those things that I've been trying to get fixed
glitchy.
With whatever's getting scanned in through our system.
Yeah.
That we're not able to see graphics because of how it's scanned in. And one of the scanner options, I think it's the recording option that blacks them out like that. And the problem is we will never recover those documents if they're recorded that way. We have to scan them in a way that we actually see what they were and record them that way because this is an ongoing.
It's like they redacted it.
Picture.
Black highlighter.
Is that the laserfish? Bless you.
Thank you.
Is that the laserfish that does the scanning, or?
I'm not sure.
It's one of our two programs, but it's been something that I've wanted us to look at. Can we change whatever we're doing? Can we do something different?
That's not a good
permanent
record.
Oh, sure. Exactly. Give you that. There's the whole packet.
All right.
I am electronic. Okay, that's what I had to bring.
Do we need any action on
that?
Motion.
It's in the budget, usually you folks sign the economic development request.
So I didn't try the motion to support this economic development.
I'd make that motion.
And I'd second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 2-0.
Thank you.
Super.
Thank you very much.
All right. So any other business?
No.
So moving on to board business, item 5A, resolution number 2019-033 in the matter of adoption of the bylaws of Local Public Safety Coordinating Council, Lipsick. The group didn't have to form bylaws. It's kind of, it was created by board order and state statute, but some of the other LIPSIC statewide had, and so with having a LIPSIC coordinator, this is something that had been recommended. I had had concern about some prohibitions under the officers, and they removed that by vote at the last LIPSIC meeting, and so moved it forward. And so I don't have any objections to this, these bylaws being
moved. I only had a question on who the staff member is. It says they'll be in charge of taking minutes. I know, so who's in charge of taking minutes?
Generally, Community Corrections has provided the staff member, and in the JRI application for grants, they have asked for part-time funding for a position like this. Douglas County opted to fund this.
With state funds or with county funds?
County funds. Mm-hmm. Douglas County believed it was that essential, and they didn't want it to be a part-time chair with
And they
Jack
stole
Joseph.
Our half a coordinator.
They did. They did. So they offered her a full-time...
Interesting.
Where she still can work from...
But our board doesn't have that same recommendation?
No, they do believe that... our board has no... This is why the commissioners are the conveners and on this board.
Right.
We're the purse. The board has no money.
You have no vote either.
Who doesn't?
The board.
What do you mean?
You don't vote on the...
LIPSIC, the commissioner, is a voting member.
Then I read it wrong, because it looked like
Where
it
does
wasn't.
It say that?
I don't know. I was reading it yesterday.
Okay. If it says that, we need to change that, because by state law, we're a voting member.
Right, it said it must have been in the membership, because it says police chief, county sheriff, district attorney, state court, director of community corrections, city councilor or mayor or city manager, and then Oregon State Police non-voting and youth authority non-voting. So it has nothing about a commissioner.
Then it's wrong, because this is not accurate to what our ORS or the order says. But if you look at 5, a county commissioner is listed. A director of community corrections, a county commissioner, a juvenile department director, So we
okay, no, it is in there then. I just read right over it.
What we have done, so my question about this one, I read the members required by statute listed there, but we should have had an extra edit there, because what we do different than the state statute. Notice how state statute says shall include but not limited to. So where this requires a city councilor and
a city manager or other city rep?
Correct. We opted to take one from each of our 2 cities. Now, other counties have 11 or 12 cities in their counties. We only have 2 incorporated cities. So we ask that they have membership from both.
And it's just one person, not a councilor and a city rep?
They each. So
2 from the city of Grants Pass and 2 from?
Yeah, so city of Grants Pass has mayor and the chief of police. They see as their representation. And then Cape Junction provides a staff person and a city councilor. So that each city has 2 representatives on the thing. Since Cape Junction doesn't have a chief, they all saw that as kind of balanced. Separately, we're required to have a representative of a crime victims under number 5. We have 2 crime victims organizations in our community, so we have both represented on the thing. So that's where we do differently.
We're a little different, yeah.
We don't have that listed in the bylaws, which makes me wonder why. They just took the state statute, and why repeat the state statute in a bylaws? Why not put what our membership actually is? The wording, in my opinion, should say members required will be in accordance with state statute and with our resolution, and here's additional member, and based on that, here is our membership, and here is our additionals under the not limited to's or something like that. But we don't
if they're going to have separate bylaws, then they should be accurate.
This section is not. They just copied the state statute wording exactly. I don't know that we want to change it. It's just a matter of, it's an observation of how it doesn't actually account for all the membership.
Right, and that always seems to be a problem in a couple of years when people look back at it and go, hey, we're not even doing what our bylaws say.
Yeah, and why do we have both victims here when we don't have to? And why do we have both cities when we don't have to? So.
Yeah, I don't want to start out with it.
We could not kick accurate. It back and say, fix the membership to reflect
There's
what
no
you're
doing. There's
no
time constraint, so it wouldn't hurt anything. Yeah.
Nope.
I think we should.
Okay. I will email and follow up with that. Was it Melissa that emailed it, do you guys think? Probably.
Is she still half coordinator?
She is through this month.
Okay.
So she is...
Let's use as much as we can before she goes.
Yeah, and quite frankly, I should have said something in that meeting, but I was taking on the one issue.
Right, and wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
And it worked. Okay.
And so...
yeah, it'd be better to start off on the right foot.
Just as a recommendation back, so I can follow up with that, but I thought I'd let you know, so.
Cool.
Okay, and then, so we're going to pause on this and not move it forward. Any matters from commissioners?
I heard a scary story yesterday.
Okay.
About the possibility of illegal cannabis, that someone gets a $1,300 permit from the state for a hemp farm, and nobody's coming to look at their hemp farm or verify their water rights. So they grow illegal cannabis right out in front of God and everybody, load it up in a container, drive to the border with their, hey, I got my hemp. It's in the back here. They got their permit. And any authority would say, yeah, you look legit. Take off with your container full of. And they say, well, what happened to all your hemp? And they're like, oh, it was too hot. I had to get rid of it. And so there's a chance to grow illegal marijuana now, a crack in the system. It's huge.
And
it kind of scares me a little, what might be happening.
I would think that Carl Wilson would be the appropriate person for you to talk to about
that. Uh-huh. I tried to get the person that talked to me to talk to Dan DeYoung or Dave Daniel, yes, to try and get that in front of, what's his
Billy
name?
Williams.
Billy Williams, right.
I actually, for some reason, thought you were going to that. Oh. I thought both were going so you could get introduced to it and eat, you know, that kind of thing, but that's okay.
No, I didn't get invited. But yeah, it's a front door issue that I hadn't really thought of. And someone brought it up and I'm like, oh man. So it's I guess the same storyteller said that someone's taken THC marijuana to the Medford airport in duffel bags and shows up with his hemp permit and gets on a plane and flies anywhere he wants. And the fourth time that he did it in a couple of weeks, they called the Medford police out. And they came out and looked in the bags, looked at the hemp permit and said, we have no authority to do anything with this and no way to test it, so you can get on the plane. And that's a weird one too, because there's no testing. For a year or so until they get some testing, we could have that issue where anybody with a hemp permit could walk around with THC cannabis and there's no way to tell. So, Oregon's got some things to work out.
Yeah.
And we're at the front of that. I have a question going to legal about moratoriums. The whole state of California, every county put in a hemp moratorium and there's no hemp being grown in California. I wish our state legislator or governor would have sent us a letter like that. Hey, each county can opt out, because none of our counties knew that before it was already passed, and so none of them opted out. And now we have this hemp issue that is stealing potential water, not to mention changing the market for the THC side that is legal and has all these fences around it, cameras you got to have and reporting methods, and hemp has none of those.
It really comes down to a state regulation issue. The state has imposed the rules and they're not regulating.
Yep.
And they have pushed this to a local level that is causing this issue. This would be a good one to take to AOC, Rob Bovet, and bringing him awareness as the marijuana guru, the cannabis guru at AOC, who's written a lot of the policies, and say, Rob, this is a consequence of your advocacy and leadership, and we think we can make some suggestions to fix it. We're not saying anything against the industry. We're saying that the regulations need to be consistent across the industry, so those that are abiding by the rules aren't undercut by those that are not.
Yeah.
because there's a lot of benefit of the hemp, but where are the industries that are the follow-up for the other products that can be made? Where's the economic development boom that is not from growing, but from processing? And what can happen with the fibers from hemp and all the other mechanisms that hemp could be grown for? We have seen them in lotions and lip balms and rope and linens and, you know, all these different things that you can make with hemp. We're not seeing any of those industries join in outside of just the growing.
Well, and there's, just to take it a hair further, they're growing hemp in Minnesota, but you can't grow good THC cannabis there. So are we going to give over our whole THC market to hemp when it can really be grown anywhere? And we're one of the sweet spots in the world for the THC side. And so it's an industry thing that, you know, are we going to, you're going to bet that someday the borders will be open and you can federally transfer it, and then we'll have a real boom, another grain rush, because we've already flooded the Oregon market. And so there's so many moving parts that our state is, they didn't even put together the Hemp Commission to oversee any of it. And so it's a industry without any fences right now. And when they look to the county to try and be the authority to oversee it, we don't have the authority. Except for building codes, it's a product like corn, but not like corn, because it still has special treatments you have to get a permit for. You don't have to get a permit for corn. And so it's a weird one. And I'm not sure how it's going to shake out. But when I find out about the moratorium, I think it's a calendar year where you can do that. And it does it, it's different. It's not when they got the permit or anything. They have to get a permit every calendar year, January 1st. And that's when you can change it and have a moratorium. And all of the counties should know they have that option if their timelines allow it for this calendar year. So as soon as I find that out, I will share that with AOC.
Cool.
Yep. Anyway. That's all I have to share. Something dark.
No, it is eye-opening. And I, Representative Wilson's office was also concerned about what they were seeing.
Oh, yeah.
And they expressed that. So I am ongoing in conversation with State Fire Marshal's office about the grant through the state funds for the fire district.
Mm-hmm.
Still haven't got an answer yet. And they're, she called me at 7:30 this morning and just kind of see. I know I don't walk through the doors until 9 o'clock, but I do actually work before that.
Right? You weren't in bed 20 minutes before 9?
No.
Right.
I was up at 1:30 watching lightning, at 2:30 watching lightning.
God, it rocked my house.
Yeah.
There was one right over it. It's like, holy
The one at 1:30 I saw created the longest thunder stream I'd ever heard.
Oh, wow.
I couldn't, my dogs got up for some unknown reason, so I went out and I stood on the porch and I watched this lightning go all the way across the sky and curl, and then the thunder that came after just went on and on and on. I'm like, I've never heard one thunder go that long. And then, of course, this morning at 7:30-ish, where you're seeing the flash and the thunder almost simultaneously. Just as an update on that, why I'm bringing up the funness, we did get an email. If you haven't asked to have the Board of County Commissioner emails forwarded to you,
we did last week or so. We changed that, so I'm getting
that.
Yeah.
I supposedly one went this morning. If not, I'll ask Dave to make sure you're added to the distribution list because it's huge. But Dave Larson sent out with ODF sent out an update at 8 o'clock this morning. There were over 125 down strikes and 13 confirmed fires, but no control issues to report. So they're able to, and they have detection aircraft will be patrolling and continuing over the next few days to make sure follow up to see if anything's going on. All of their vacation days and time off have been canceled.
Suspended.
So all employees are ready to go.
On deck.
Yeah.
And yeah, days off have been canceled and firefighting resources are readily available here in the region. They did send the latest lightning detection map. We also got one from Bob Noyes this morning. So Bob sends those out, and those do go to the commissioner one, but I will make sure Mr. Larson heads you to the distribution list.
Please and thank you, yes.
But, so that was the outcome this morning. They've also requested Douglas Forest Protection Agency, I don't know what CFPA, SCAS, and WL, but strike team engines from other areas have been asked to come to Grants Pass to be ready for the outcome. So they are staging us with extra equipment.
Were we alone in the path of that?
Jackson and Josephine had a significant amount of activity. Strikes. I heard it may be moving its way north, but I haven't got confirmation. But all those people are sending strike teams down here to deal with the 125 strikes we had. And the rain, even though some places got, I mean, my place got,
yeah, it got dumped
with rain. There's other places that got zero.
I'm sure, yeah.
So it was, in some areas, 0.01 inches, and others it was 0.24 inches, other places none, so. Anyhow.
Pretty rainbow out, though.
It was. but it's supposed to be 95 degrees today.
Golly.
Might be.
Yeah, that'll dry right out.
Saw the Beach Boys last night, and he said, go to Oregon, it'll be cool. What is with this heat in your plane? All right. Anything else?
No, ma'am.
Okay.
Whatever just made Wendy leave. Bye.
It was the Beach Boys.
She won't stand for it?
All right, we're adjourned at 10:09.
No Beach Boy talk. Mm-mm.